Okay, so just to put it all together, the Torah, the Beis Yosef, the Darkei Moshe, and then the Shulchan Aruch with the Nosa Kelim, for the topic of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. So for starters, what we're basically going to do is we're going to break this down into four or five major topics. We're going to first discuss what exactly constitutes a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. We'll discuss the reasoning behind the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Then we'll discuss the Torah's three standard cases of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. And then we'll discuss the various exceptions for Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, and then finally we'll talk about a unique case of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, of subjective Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Okay, so in terms of what constitutes Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, the Torah presents the Rashba, who basically gives you two criteria. The first one is if the heter is valid yavo, that the heter is definitely going to come and kick in. So if something is definitely going to become mutter, so we say Chazal expect you to wait for the heter to kick in rather than eating a be'isr. What's the classic example of this? The classic example is beitzah shenol d'biyamtiv, and if that beitzah that was nol d'biyamtiv, so now it's aser b'taras muksa. Now this beitzah gets mixed into even 1,000 other eggs. The halacha is that they're all aser. Why are they aser? Because rather than allow you to eat this right now, playing around with this, or just wait another day till Yom Tov is over when it's not muksa, when the isra muksa falls off, and you can eat it beheter. That's the first idea for the first criteria of the Rashba, the first criterion of the Rashba. The second criterion is if it's biyad alatira, that if it's within your control to manipulate the circumstances to alleviate the iser. So how do you have such a case? So the Rashba's example is, let's say you have peiros musarim. You have peiros that you already took off chumas and maestros from, and now a little bit of tevel gets mixed in. So normally, if it's a case of yavish biyavish, you should say batel chad betray. But because we're dealing with tevel, so you could easily be mafresh on this tevel. So, and you can account for this tevel that mixed in and just be mafresh for it. And so instead of eating it while playing around with the isra, the little bit of tevel that fell in, rather we prefer you, since it's within your control, to easily manipulate the circumstances to alleviate the isra. That's what we tell you to do. So those are the Rashba's two criteria. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, I should mention a note before the Shulchan Aruch, there is a marshal that's brought down in the Shach in Simon Kuf Beis in Sifkat and Ches in the Shach, where the Marshal writes that he disagrees with the second point of Biyad al-Hatiro. The Marshal thinks that the only time that Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin applies is if the Heter is going to kick in Mikoach Zman. That the Heter is automatically just going to kick in without you manipulating anything. The Shach disagrees with this point. The Shach says that he thinks the Marshal is wrong. As we know from Nedarim, that there is such a thing as generating a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin from Nedarim, that if you took a neder not to eat something, and that something falls into a big tarovis of something. So we say it's Biyad Hatiro because it's biyado to be shol on the nether. Okay, but either way, that's just a side point that the Marshal disagrees with the second criterion of the Rashba. Now, lehalacha, the Shulchan Aruch presents the Rashba's two criteria. The only thing is that for some reason when he quotes this in Simon Kuf Beis Sif Beis, he quotes the Rashba as B'shem Yesh Misha Omer. And so the Shach, he comments on that and he says, I don't really know why the Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rashba B'shem Yesh Misha Omer, because we know that the Torah quotes this Rashba, seemingly lehalacha, that the Torah passes like this, and it seems to be that this sheet is undisputed. So he's not sure why the Mechaber presents the criteria of the Rashba that way. Okay, but that's in terms of what exactly it is that constitutes a Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Now, just what exactly is the reasoning behind the Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin? Why should it be that Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin has that work? So there is a Rashi in Beitza Daf Gimel Beitza. Rashi explains that the basic lamdas is Achi Yochlenu Be'Isser Yochlenu Be'Hetter. Rather than you eating it in a state of Isser, you have business eating something in a state of Hetter. And so Chazal expect you to eat it in a state of heter, and so therefore we say that the food, the iser, doesn't become batal. Okay, now the next discussion is, let's talk about the Torah's three standard cases of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. The Torah presents three basic cases. The first one is based on the Gemara Beitza Daf Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara discusses a Beitza Shnol B'Yamtiv, and that Beitza, which we know is Aser B'Taras Muksa, that gets mixed in with even 1,000 other eggs. So the halacha is that they're all Aser. And this is the case that we mentioned before for the Rashba. Now, the second major case that the Torah presents as one of the standard cases, Davashesh Matir, is if, let's say, you have a Beitza that you're not sure if it was Nol Debi Yom Tov. You don't know if this was late today, you don't know if the Beitza was late yesterday, and now this Beitza gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs. What's the halacha? So you would tell me this might be a case of Sfek Sveika. Sfek number one is you don't know. Let's say you pick up an egg out of these 1,000 eggs. You don't know if the egg that you're picking up is the one that was the felon in the first place, is the one that was usher in the first place. And second of all, even if it is the one that fell in, it could be that it was nolad not on Yom Tif. It could be that it was nolad yesterday, before Yom Tif. So the big question is whether Sfek Sveika, whether Sfek Sveik is immune to Davar Shlishi Matirin or not. So this is based on the Gemara and Beitza, Daf Gimel and Beitza. Gemara presents a Braisa. The Braisa gives you three halachos regarding Beitza Shnol Debi Yom Tov. The first one is that the Gemara says that this, the Braisa records that if you have a Beitza that was Nolda on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, the halacha is that it's usher to move around. It's muksa. The second halacha that the Braisa says is that the Savik Beitza, if this Beitza, you're not sure if it was Nolda on Yom Tov or on Shabbos, the halacha is that it's asura. Okay, the third halacha that the Braisa says, is let's say a Beitza, this Beitza is Nisarva, let's say it gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other ones. Now, the halacha is that it's still Aser. So the question is, in this third halacha that the Braisa presents in Beitza, Daf Gimel, when it says that, if this egg gets mixed in with 1,000 other ones, and it says that that's problematic now, is that a continuation of the second halacha, or is that a continuation of the primary case of the Braisa? In other words, the second halacha was, if you have a Safek Beitza, if you have a Beitza, you're not sure if it fell into, if you're not sure if it was Nolad and Yom Tov or not, so we said that that's a Surah. Now the question is, well, let's say that Beitza gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, is that the case of the, is that the third halacha that's being conveyed in the Braisa? Or is the case of the Braisa when it says, if Beitza that was mixed in with others, it just means, let's say you have a Beitza that was Nolad and Yom Tov. So on the one hand, we discussed a Safek, if it was nolad on Yom Tov, if it wasn't nolad on Yom Tov, if it was nolad on Yom Tov or not. And then case three would be, well, let's say a Beitza, the nolad on Yom Tov gets mixed in with 1,000 other eggs. So that's a machlokas rishonim. The Baal HaTosfos over there present two shitas of how to understand that third case in the Braisa. Now, of course, the nafkamina is whether you say Davar Sheyesh Matirin, whether play is relevant for a case of Sfek Sveika. So the Baal HaTosfos, the first shita is the Rabbeinu Tam. The shita of the Rabbeinu Tam is that that third case in the Braisa is exactly how you would have imagined it, is that it's discussing a Beitza that was Nol Debi Yom Tov. If that Beitza that was Nol Debi Yom Tov gets mixed into 1,000 other eggs, so now we say that it's Asur, but not that we're dealing with a case of Sfek Sveika. And presumably, the Mashmaos is that according to Rabbeinu Tam, if we'd be dealing with Sfek Sveika, could be that it would be immune to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. Davar Sheyesh Matirin wouldn't apply. However, the Baal HaTosfos do present a second shita, and that is that they understand the second shita presented by Tosfos holds that the third case of the Braisa is in fact discussing a case of Sfek Sveika. And if that's the case, the Braisa is conveying that in the case of Sfek Sveika, Safek if the Beitza was Nolad today, Safek was Nolad yesterday. Safek if the egg that you pick up out of the Tarovis is the egg that fell in. And even if it is the egg that fell in, Safek was Nolad in Yom Tov, Safek was Nolad before Yom Tov. So the Nafkamin, of course, is whether we say that it's subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So according to the second Shita, Taisvis, we would say that Davar Sheyesh Matirin does apply to Sfek Sveika. Now, the Rush, there's a Shas HaTshuvos, a Rush in Klal Beis, that, and this is quoted by the Beis Yosef in the Berak HaBayis, is that he says that he paskins, at least he seems to paskin, like the second sheet in Taisvis. How do you see that he holds that way? The Rush, and we'll discuss this a little bit in a little bit, is he quotes his Rebbe, the Meram Rudenberg, who asks, how is it possible that beer, that we're allowed to drink a beer nowadays, if beer contains barley, and that barley is an issue of Chadash? So the Meram Rudenberg says, I'll tell you why. It's because we're dealing with a Sfek Sveika here. Number one, we don't know if the barley that was used to make this beer is barley that's chadash or yashan, and even if it is chadash, we don't know if this barley that was chadash was chushrash before Tezayin v'Nisan or after. And so, because it's a case of Sfek Sveika, so there's no issue of Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. However, the Rush says, what are you talking about? From the Gemara and Beitz, Daf Gimel and Beis, it's pretty clear that Sfek Sveika is not immune to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin, and therefore Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin would apply to a case of Sfax Feika. So it seems pretty clear from the Rush that the Rush himself would hold like the second Shita of Tosfos, and in fact that's what the Torah seems to be holding as well, because he presents this case of Sfax Feika as the second classical case of Davar Shehi Shmatir. Now the third case that the Torah presents as a standard case of Davar Shehi Shmatirin is a case of Tafshel. He says, let's say you have a Tafshel, let's say you take this Beitza that was not being emptied, and you cook it up in a cake or something, or in a bread or something like that. So now what's the halacha? Do you say that it's Aser, Mitam, Davar Shehi Shmatirin, or not? So he says, on the one end, the Torah quotes Avi HaEzri as saying that it's Aser. It's Aser even in a Tafshel. However, the Beinu Tam is quoted and it says, no, actually, that's not the way that Davar Shehi Shmatirin works. Davar Shehi Shmatirin applies only in a scenario of min b'mino, not in a case of min b'she'en amino. And therefore, for min b'she'en amino, if we're dealing with a case of min b'she'en amino, like would be for a tafshel, so the halach would be that it would be subject to the standard rules of min b'she'en amino. In other words, it would be batal b'shishim. Now, the question is, where does this chilek between min b'mino and min b'she'en amino actually come from? So, the Beis Yosef, the Bach, they all point you to the Gemara in Beitza Daf Lamed Zayin, Lamed Ches, and Lamed Tes. There is a Mishnah in Beitza and Daf Lamed Zayin and Alf that discusses Tchum and Yamtiv. Now, we know that halacha is that on Yamtiv or on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amos outside of your Makom Shavisa, wherever you decided, wherever you were kona, to rest for that Shabbos or Yom Tov. So now the question is that the Mishnah discusses over there, what about your kalim? What about your animals? What about your food? So are those also bound by your tchum? So the Mishnah says, yeah, those things, your food, your dogs, your kalim, they're all bound by your tchum. So the same way that you're not allowed to go beyond 2,000 amos outside of your makom shvisa and Shabbos or Yom Tov, your kalim, your dogs, your animals, your food, that also can't go outside. So the question is that the Mishnah discusses, what happens if a woman comes to your door and Yom Tov and she wants to borrow some salt? So now that she's borrowing some salt and she's going to make a dough out of that salt, now the question is, how far can she take this dough or the bread that she ultimately makes? Is it bound by your tchum or is it bound by her tchum? So the Mishnah says, actually, it's bound by your tchum. She's not allowed to take it outside of your tchum, and that's in addition to her own tchum. Right? Obviously, she can't take it outside of her own tchum, but she has to keep it within your tchum as well. So the Gemara asks, and Daf Lamed Ches over there, the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If she's just putting in a little bit of salt into her challah dough on Yom Tov, so what's the big deal? Why can't it be batal berov? Aren't there a lot, many more ingredients in there than just a little bit of salt? So the Balei Tosfos jump in and they say, I don't understand. Why would you think that it should be batal berov? We're dealing with a case of Davar Shehi Shmatirin over here. When she puts the salt in, it's a Davar Shehi Shmatirin. She can either eat it where she is, within the tchum, or she can just wait till after Yom Tov in order to eat it. So it's a case of Davar Shehi Shmatirin. Of course it shouldn't be batal. So Balei Tosfos say, no, I'll explain to you why the Gemara's question is a valid question. That is, because Davar Shehi Shmatirin applies only in a scenario of min b'mino. Davar Shehi Shmatirin does not apply in a case of min b'she'en amino. And so since here we're dealing with salt being put into this recipe, this dough, or a kadeira, a pot of soup, or chalt, whatever she's making. So because it's a case of min b'she'en amino, that's why the Gemara is justified in its question of why shouldn't the salt be both. Now, the Gemara is a little bit of a back and forth over there. Ultimately, towards the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara says, okay, so lemaisa, what's the reason that the salt is not batal in this dough that this woman is going to be making? So the Gemara gives three reasons for why it might not be batal. The first one is a reason suggested by Abai, and that is because we're nervous. Chazal or Gozer in a case, Atu, a case where the woman makes a b'shutfis with the original salt owner. Okay, so we're not going to go into those details right now, but there's one reason. The second reason is that the salt or the spices that she's putting in, that she's borrowing from you, is avida l'tayma. And so we know that things that are used, that tavlin, which is avida l'tayma, are not going to be bottle as easily. The third reason that the Gemara gives is one that's suggested by Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says, oh, I'll tell you why the salt isn't bottle. The salt isn't bottle because it's a davar sheyesh l'matirin. So the Baal HaTosfos jump in and they say, well, wait a second. You're telling me now that the reason that it's not batal is that it's a davar sheish matirin. I thought we explained to you before that this is a case of min b'shein amino. And davar sheish matirin only applies if it's a case of min b'amino. So why would you think, why is the Gemara saying now that this is a case of davar sheish matirin, if davar sheish matirin applies only in a scenario of min b'amino? So the Baal HaTosfos over there explained in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, they explain, no, we'll tell you why this is really considered to be a case of min b'amino, even though she's adding spices into her dough or into her cholent. So the Baal HaTosfos give you two explanations for why this might be considered a case of min b'amino. Either A, because it's all, really, all these items that we're dealing with in the context of tchum are subsumed under the category of mamona. It's all money. That's really what the issue of tchum revolves around, is this your property or not? So that's really all one kind of min. The second teretz, which is the one that's more important for us, is that the Baal HaTosfos says, no, I'll tell you why this is min b'amino. It's because all the items, all the ingredients that you put into a cake, let's say, or into a challah dough, we don't view them as individual components. We view them as anything that's necessary to be misak and kedera, anything that's necessary to make this dish, to make this dough, to make this cholent. And therefore, each individual ingredient doesn't have its own distinct status or as a separate min from one another. They're all considered, let's say we would call it, it's all cholent mix, or each ingredient is still, it's all, each ingredient is considered to be soup mix or challah dough mix. And therefore, they're all really min b'amino. And that's why the Gemara is justified by saying that now this is davar sheish matirin should apply because it's a case of min b'amino. So let's pull this back now for the Shita of the Rebbeinu Tam. So we said that the Tor quotes as his third classical case of davar sheish matirin, if you have a, let's say you take a beitza that was nolda b'yomtiv and you put it into a tafshel. So now, do you say that it's subject to the rules of davar sheish matirin or not? So we quote the Tor quotes from Avi HaEzri as saying that it's aser even in the tafshel, but the Rebbeinu Tam says no. Davar sheish matirin applies only in the scenario of min b'amino. It doesn't apply in the scenario of min b'shein amino. So clearly, the Rebbeinu Tam was in disagreement with the shita of the Baal HaTosfos in Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph and Beitza. However, if you take a look over there, in terms of the psak, the Beis Yosef and the Rebbeinu Yerucham and the Darkei Moshe, they all quote the Baal HaTosfos. The Darkei Moshe there does quote kind of as an afterthought the Shita of the Rebbeinu Tam, but the Beis Yosef quotes the Rebbeinu Yerucham, who seems to hold like the Baal HaTosfos. Darkei Moshe quotes the Baal HaTosfos, and the Ramah quotes Tosfos lehalacha. In addition to this idea, there is another important nekud about a tafshel, and that is that when you, let's say if you'd put in a white, you put in an egg white into some batter in order to give it a color, so if it's l'chazusa, so then that's also another reason for not to be batal. And the Ramah actually quotes that. He quotes that in the Darkei Moshe, he quotes that in the Ramah also, l'alacha, in the Shulchan Aruch. So, but either way, where this leaves us is that in terms of this third category, this third classic case of davar sheish matirin of tavshel, so on the one hand, we have the sheet of the Baal HaTosfos. The Baal HaTosfos saying that min b'amino, if it's a case of min b'amino, then davar sheish matirin applies. If it's a case of min b'shein amino, then davar sheish matirin does not apply. The question is whether tafshel is considered to be a case of min b'amino, min b'shein amino. So Rebbeinu Tam clearly seems to hold that a tafshel is not a case of min b'amino, it's a case of min b'shein amino. However, the Baal HaTosfos disagree with that. The Baal HaTosfos hold that that it is considered to be a case of min b'amino, and that's what seems to make it into halacha from the Beis Yosef, the Ben Yerucham, the Darkei Moshe, and ultimately the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so now let's just discuss some of the major exceptions to davar sheish matirin. So far, what we did discuss is we discussed what exactly it is that constitutes a davar sheish matirin. We discussed the Rashba's two major criteria that the heter is definitely going to kick in versus a second criteria of if it's biyad lahatir. And we discussed that both of those criteria make it into halacha, make it into the Shulchan Aruch. We discussed also the reasoning behind davar sheish matirin of ach yochlenu be'isra yochlenu be'heter, and then we discussed the Tor's three standard cases of davar sheish matirin: beitza shenolda b'yamtiv, safek beitza shenolda b'yamtiv, where it was mixed into tarovis, and then the third case of if you have something that's asher like a beitza shenolda b'yamtiv that you put into a tafshel, which is really a machlokes, and ultimately the Beis Yosef, the Rebbeinu Yerucham, the Darkei Moshe, and the Ramah paskin Paskin like the Balei HaTosfos to say that it is considered. Of course, we'll distinguish between min b'mino versus min b'shein amino, but the question is of whether Tafshel is considered min b'shein amino or not. Interestingly, the Mechaber himself quotes the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramah quotes the Shita of the Balei HaTosfos. Okay, so now in terms of the exceptions for Davar Shlish Matir, in the very first case that really should be discussed is continuing the idea of what we were mentioning before of Min B'Shein Amino. So clearly we already established from the Balei HaTosfos that if we're dealing with a scenario of Min B'Shein Amino, then that's not subject to the rules of Davar Shlish Matirin, at least the way that that we presented from the Balei HaTosfos. The question, though, is that why should that be? Why should it be that min b'shein amino is not subject to the rules of davar shi'ish l'matirin? And really, the question is formulated a little bit more strongly by the Shach. The Shach in Sifkat and Dalet asks, I don't understand. Davar shi'ish l'matirin and Beria and Chaticha Ril Eschaibet, presumably all of these things have one thing in common, and that is that they are not batal because there's some element of Chashivas that they have to them. So the question is, we know that by Beria and Chaticha Ril Eschaibet, it doesn't really make a difference if the Tarovis is a Tarovis of Min B'min or Min B'Shein Amino. It's never going to be batal. So why should it make a difference by Devar Sheish Matirin if it's in a Tarovis of Min B'min or Min B'Shein Amino? So the Shach gives an explanation, and the Taz gives an explanation. The Shach's explanation over here is basically that when we're discussing the case of Beria or Chaticha Re'il Eschabed, the Chashivas, the Isser itself is inherently Chashiv, right? The Beria itself, which is Asser, is inherently Chashiv. The Chaticha Re'il Eschabed itself is inherently Asser. Mashiach, when it comes to Davar Sheish Matirin, the item itself is not Asser. It's just that Chazal, they said, look, rather than you eating this in a state of Isser, we'd prefer that this be eaten in a state of Heter. And so they didn't want a bittel to occur. However, but once this item gets mixed up with something that's not its min, it gets mixed into a majority of ein amino, so then this has lost its identity. It lost its identity as a davar shi'ish matirin. Now it's subsumed into this heter of something that's not a davar shi'ish matirin, and therefore that's why davar shi'ish matirin should make a difference if we're dealing with min b'mino versus min b'shein amino. That's the Shach's explanation. The Taz, however, says I have a much better answer, and that's based on the Ran in Nedarim and Daf Nun Beis. There's a famous Ran and Daf Nun Beis in Nedarim that tries to be masber the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham regarding min b'mino batal or not. The sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is that if you take a look at the Pesukim of Vayikra Tazayin, where the Pasuk writes, V'lakach midam hapar, or midam asar, that's discussing where the Kohen is mixing together the dam hapar and dam asar, and it says you take from midam hapar and midam asar, but that's after the blood is already all mixed up. And presumably there's a lot more dam hapar than dam asar. So the question is, why does the Torah single out giving an identity to the dam asar if it's already mixed in and overwhelmed by the dam hapar? So Rav Yehuda says that, so what do you see from here? You see that min b'mino lo batal. You see that dam hapar and dam hasa'ir are very similar, and therefore it's min b'mino, and a min b'mino is lo batal, as the Torah clearly indicates by identifying dam hasa'ir individually. And therefore Rav Yehuda says, so the same way that in the context of dam hapar and dam hasa'ir we say min b'mino lo batal, so similarly when it comes to Isser v'Heter, we should say min b'mino lo batal, or min b'mino asr. So the Chacham respond, and this is the way that the Ran explains it. The Chacham respond that no, that's not true. When we're dealing with Dama Par, Dama Sayer, the Dama Par and the Dama Sayer are halachically equivalent. They're both items that can be brought onto the Mizbeach, that can undergo Zrika on the Mizbeach. However, when we're dealing with Isser v'Heter, the two components, they may be physically the same, they may have the same name, as we'll discuss in a little bit, they may be physically the same, but the fact of the matter is that they're halachically very, very different. They are halachically considered to be two different minim. One is a min of Isser, one is a min of a Heter, so you can't possibly call that, you can't extrapolate from Damasar, Damapar to a case of Isser v'Heter, because Isser v'Heter is not a case of Min B'mino. Isser v'Heter is fundamentally different in that it's a case of Min B'Shein Amino, as the category of Isser is very different than the category of Heter. However, says the Ran, what about when it comes to a case of Davar Sheish L'Matirin? And you have a Davar Sheish L'Matirin that got mixed into a whole taroivus of other things. So now of heter. So now this davar sheyesh matirin is very halachically similar to the items with which it's mixed. Why? Because it's on the verge of becoming mutter, and if it's on the verge of turning into heter, so then it's similar to the taroivus in which it finds itself. And so therefore, that would be a case of min b'mino, even in the world of the chachamim. And therefore, that's why we would say that davar sheyesh matirin would not be batal in a case of min b'mino. However, says the, now fills in the taz, the details, so but let's say it's a case of min b'she'in amino, that the items are very different physically, or their names are very, very different. So if that's the case, then the problem is that the distinctions between them are too glaringly obvious to say that, oh, this is really considered min b'mino because they're halachically similar. And therefore, that's why this is how the Taz explains why there should be a difference between min b'mino and min b'she'in amino, why it should be that davar sheyesh matirin applies when it's a scenario of min b'mino versus where it shouldn't apply in the case of min b'she'in amino. Okay, so this is all, at least just to explain, the first big major exception for davar sheyesh matirin, that davar sheyesh matirin does not apply in a scenario of min b'she'in amino. The second one is one mentioned by the Rashba. This is brought down in the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rashba saying that if something is b'yadal ha'at, we mentioned this before, if something is in your control to manipulate the circumstances, to alleviate this isser that's in this taroivus, then you have business doing that. However, says the Rashba, if you'd have to be mefazir ma'os, then if you'd have to waste a lot of money in order to convert the isra to heter, then this is not subject to the rules of davar sheyesh matirin. What's the Rashba's example? He says, let's say you have a spoon that you used to cook treif, and that spoon gets mixed up with 1,000 other spoons. So now, on the one hand, you might say, oh, this is a case of yavish b'yavish, so it should be batal chad b'trei. However, on the other hand, you could just take all the spoons and do hagala on all of them. And if you're able to do hagala, then maybe this should be considered a davar sheyesh matirin. So says the Rashba, but it costs money to do hagala. And so since you'd have to be mefazir mos in order to do hagala, this treif spoon would be batal. It's not considered to be davar sheyesh matirin. In fact, the Mechaber in Kuf Beis Sif Gimel, he quotes this Rashba, lehalacha. Now, it is important to know about this Rashba that there are a number of issues that the Shach presents from various Rishon Machronim that argue on this Rashba. The first point is just a very technical point that the Maharil in a tshuva said that he doesn't understand why the Rashba thinks that it costs so much money to do Hagala. Hagala isn't that expensive. He tries to draw a parallel case from Maaser Sheni to show you how much is considered within your reach to be able to afford it, to be able to do it. From Maaser Sheni, we see such a thing. But either way, that's the Maharil's first point. So the Shach says, okay, so in a Hanami, if the cost is negligible, then of course you should be choshesh for the Maharil. That's one point. The second point is made by the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah in the Berak Abayis, on that Rashba, and this Ra'ah is quoted by the Shach, says that he doesn't understand why the Rashba thinks that you're going to be able to get off so easy with this treif spoon that got mixed into 1,000 other spoons. It doesn't really make a difference if it's not davar sheyesh matirin. There's a very different issue over here that's going to remain an issue even without the Rashba's heter of excusing you from davar sheyesh matirin. What's the isser? What's the issue? The issue is that it's considered to be nikar isser. The halacha is that if the isser can be identified or can be filtered out or can be extracted from a taroivus, then it's considered to be nikar. And so similarly over here, this isser, the isser that's embedded within that spoon which is somewhere in this taroivus, that isser can be extracted. It can be extracted because you can do hagala. And so since it's nikar isser, the isser is not going to be batal anyway. So the Shach says, okay, so l'maisa though, at least for the Rashba, within the Rashba's world of davar sheyesh matirin for these spoons, so something that isn't very costly that you can do in order to alleviate a certain amount of isser is to let the spoon sit overnight and become an eino ben yomo, and that way you at least alleviate the isser daraisa. So that's what the Shach recommends. There is a side point that the Marib and Leib, which is quoted by that Shach over there, mentions. He says, let's you have a milchik spoon. The guy mixed in with a whole bunch of fleishik spoons. So he thinks that shouldn't be batal. And the Bach says, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. Of course it should be batal. How can kalim be more chomer than the basar v'chalav itself? So the Bach is actually quoted in very short words by the Shach. But either way, the Shach ultimately says, okay, so Avada we would pass like the Bach over here. But the point is that for exception number two, to Davar Sheyesh Matirin, we have the Rashba. That the Rashba says basically that if something is within your control to alleviate the Isser, that's considered to be Davar Sheyesh Matirin only if it doesn't suffer you a significant loss, let's say. If you'd have to be Mefazer Mos, then there is no issue of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. And then we have the other just technical issues that we brought up from the Maharil, the Ra'ah, and the Shach. Okay, now the third major exception to the rule of Davar Sheyesh Matirin is from the Mordechai. The Mordechai quotes from this Mordechai is quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Mordechai quotes B'Shem the Rashmi Paliza, who quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, as having said, let's say by the time this food becomes mutter, the food will be ruined. So if you're dealing with Machol HaMeskalkol, that's not going to be subject to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. In fact, the Rashba, also quoted by the Beis Yosef, says, and for that reason, let's say you have a Taraivas of Chametz on Pesach. And in that Taraivas of Chametz on Pesach, if you'd wait for Pesach to be over, in other words, for the Isser Chametz to fall off, let's say the food would be ruined. So that's not subject to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Okay, that's the third major exception to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. In fact, this does make it lehlacha, as we'll see. This is brought down in the Beis Yosef, and this Rush, this idea, this Mordechai is quoted by the Rama. The Rama in Simon Kov Beis does mention the halacha that if the machal is machal miskalko, I'm sorry, not the Rama. The Mechaber himself says, Yeshom delo shach davar sheyesh matirin heichas hamachal miskalko. So that is presented, that is paskin by the Mechaber. Now, the fourth major exception is also something brought down in the Mordechai, and that is extension of what we were talking about before. That is the Rav Chaim Cohen's chiddush. Rav Chaim Cohen had a chiddush that, let's say you have something that's usser, and the isser is going to fall off, and therefore it'll become a davar sheyesh matir. It should be considered a davar sheyesh matir, but let's say the isser is eventually going to bounce back, and it's going to come back onto this item. So then it's not subject to davar sheyesh matir. What's the example of this that Rav Chaim Cohen gives? He says, let's say you have a taroivas of chametz and Pesach. So now the chametz and the chanami, as soon as Pesach is over, the isser chametz is going to fall off. But another year's time, that isser chametz is going to bounce right back, and therefore chametz and Pesach wouldn't be considered davar sheyesh matir. Now the Rambam, we know, disagrees with this point. The Rambam holds anyway that Chametz B'Pesach is definitely considered a Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So he disagrees with the Rashba that we said a minute ago, and he disagrees with Rav Chaim Cohen also, that the Rambam holds that Chametz is considered Davar Sheyesh Matirin. In terms of Pesach, the Rama quotes both opinions. He quotes both the Mordechai, Rav Chaim Cohen, and the Rambam. Okay, now the fifth major exception to Davar Sheyesh Matirin is also from Rav Chaim Cohen, and that is Tam. And Tam is a much bigger discussion. The Mordechai quotes from Rav Chaim Cohen that Tam is not subject to the rules of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So the Tam will be batal given within the standard rules of Tam of Min B'Shein Amin or Davar of Batal B'Shishim. However, Tam is a little bit more complicated. There is this Shaus HaTshuvos Rush that we mentioned before, and the fuller picture that we have to bear in mind is that, again, the Maram Rodenberg is quoted by the Rush as having asked, so what's the story with beer? How is it possible that beer, that we can drink beer nowadays, if there is an issue of Chadash? So the Maram Rodenberg gave an answer, and he basically said, Sfek Sveikon, therefore there's no issue of Davar Sheyesh Matirin. So the Rush said, what do you mean? Who cares if it's Davar Sheyesh Matirin? Who cares if it's Sfek Sveikon? We know from the Gemara and Beitza that it doesn't really make a difference if it's a one suffix or if it's a Sfek Sveikon, Davar Sheyesh Matirin applies. And therefore the Rush turned around and he said, so you want to know why it is that beer is not a problem of Chadash? He said, because it's a case of Min B'Shein Amino. And because it's a case of Min B'Shein Amino, Davar Sheyesh Matirin doesn't apply. And so the barley is going to be Batal B'Shishim. Now, the Beis Yosef over there, this is all brought down in the Beis Yosef's Berak HaBayis, where he argues with the Maharam's point and he argues with the Rush's point. He says, first of all, I disagree with the Maharam. He says someone must have misheard something over here, because the Maharam's point about Sfek Sveika is incorrect. The only time that Sfek Sveika That Davar Sheyesh Matir is going to apply even in the scenario of Sfek Sveika is if it mimics the case that we find in Beitza Daf Gimel and Beis. In other words, the case of Gimel and Beis is if you have a Beitza, you're not sure if the Beitza itself is Aser or Matir. In other words, you don't know if it was Nolan and Yom Tov or on Chol. And now it falls into a Taravis. And now it's within this Taravis. And because of this Taravis, there's another Sevek generator that each egg I pick up. I'm not sure if it's the egg that fell in or not. So the Beis Yosef says, so the only time that Davar Sheyesh Matir is going to apply the case of Sfek Sveika is if the Sfek Sveika was generated as a result of this Taravis. But let's say the Sfek Sveika didn't result as because of the Taravis. For example, your case of Chadash. In the case of Chadash, even without the barley being in the taroivis of beer, in other words, even without the barley being in the taroivis, there's still the same sfek sveika. Suffolk if this is chadash or yashin, and even if it's chadash, it could be that it took root before Tezayin v'Nisan. So the Beis Yosef doesn't like the Meraim Rutenberg's, at least as it's quoted from the Meraim Rutenberg, the idea of Sfek Sveika. The second point, it disagrees with the Rush. He says, what's the Rush going to do with the Gemara and Beitza? Now the Rush does try to handle the Gemara and Beitza. We know the Gemara and Beitza, Daf Lamed Ches, when it discusses the difference between Min B'Yimin and Min B'Shinim, the Gemara says, oh, over there, one of the answers given for why the salt or the spice is used in the dish by the woman is that it's a case of Avidah L'Tama. So the Rush says, oh, so when we're dealing with a case of Avidah L'Tama, that's when Davar Sheyesh Matir is going to apply. But if there's something that's no Sintam, but it's not Avidah L'Tama, then it's not going to be subject to Davar Sheyesh Matir. So the Beis Yosef says, that's ridiculous. How can you be mechalik between the Gemara and Beitza and Daf Lamed Ches and the case of beer? Beer, the barley that you put in beer, is even more no Sintam than any of those ingredients could possibly be. Nakamara in Beitza. So either way, so this is in terms of tam. Now lahalacha, the Rama quotes, he says that lahalacha tam is batal. He holds lahalacha, the tam is in fact batal. However, the Taz and the Shach, they both attack their mind. They say, well, wait a second. On the one hand, you told us a little bit ago, in the very beginning of Kuf Beis, when we were discussing Tafshil, the Rama quoted, we know the Rama quoted the Baal HaTosfos. The Baal HaTosfos' Shita is that Tafshil is subject to the Davar Sheyesh Matirin. And presumably that's because they hold that every tafshil is a case of min b'mino. So if that's the case, how can you, and every tafshil, when we're dealing with a tafshil, presumably we're dealing with tam. So how can you tell us now that tam is going to be batal and it's not going to be subject to the Davar Sheyesh Matirin? So the Shach tries to explain this, but ultimately the Shach lines up a whole series of Rishonim and Achronim, and he basically says that tam is definitely not going to be batal, it's definitely subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. Okay, so now that is the fifth major exception to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. The sixth major exception to Davar Sheyesh Matirin is if something is not Asar Machmas Atzman. This is a case that's presented in the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe learns from the Chumash Hadeshen, he says, where there's a discussion about Basar Shalonim Lecha Toch Gimel. So if you have meat that wasn't salted within 3 days, so now it's saturated with blood, there's only one way really to be able to eat this meat in the state of Het, and that is you'd have to roast it. So what the Darkei Moshe understands, though, from the Chumash Hadeshen, is that because the Isser, this meat, is not inherently Usser, it's Usser as a result of the blood that's embedded within it, so it's not subject to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. The Rama actually paskins this way Lalach, and he says that if something is not Asher Machmas Atzmo, it's not subject to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. The Shach says that first of all he thinks that the Rama, and he says a number of people thinks that the Rama learned this Chumash Hadeshen incorrectly, and they pulled out the halach incorrectly, and that Davar Sheyesh Matirin of course does apply even if something is not Asr Machmas Atzmo. And the Shach says, why should it make a difference if the item is Asr Machmas Atzmo or not? There's Isser within your Taroivis, and if there's Isser within your Taroivis, then it shouldn't really make a difference if the piece that fell in was Asher Machmas Atzmo or not. So the Shach disagrees with the Rama on this point as well. Now, the seventh major exception to the Davar Sheyesh Matirin is if, let's say, the Isser was not Nicker before it fell in. In other words, before it came into contact with the rest of the Taravis. If you have something that where the Isser was not Nicker, so the Darkei Moshe quotes from the Isser V'Heter, that it wouldn't be subject to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin. And the Rama actually paskins this way. Now, the Shach gives two nice examples for what would be examples of something where the Isser was not Nicker. So the Shach says, for example, let's say you were crushing grapes before Shabbos. So you have all the grapes sitting, and they were warming up in a vat before Shabbos, and they were crushed. And so there was a good amount of liquid, of juice, that oozed out of the grapes before Shabbos. But now, as Shabbos continues, more and more liquid is going to ooze out of these grapes and seep into the rest of the mixture. So now the question is, well, all that stuff is mashkin shezafu. All the liquid that seeps out on Shabbos should be mashkin shezafu, and this should therefore be usher. However, because that stuff that's usher, the juice that seeps out on Shabbos, is not nicker, it wasn't distinct and separate to itself before it was introduced into this taraivas. So therefore, it's not going to be subject to davar sheyesh matir. There's no issue of davar sheyesh matir. The second case that the Shach gives as an example of something where the iser was not nicker is that, let's say, you have grapes that are soaking in water, and you're soaking in water, and you're soaking the grapes in water in order so that they should crack open, and that the flavor and juices should seep out and flavor the water, making temed. So the Shach says, that's another example. Let's say you started this process before Shabbos, and now as Shabbos continues, more and more juices are going to seep out and flavor the water. So that's also a case where the Isser was not nicker. It wasn't distinct and separate itself before it was introduced to the Taraivas. The eighth exception to Davar Sheyesh L'Matirin is, let's say you have Isser that doesn't become mutter for the person for whom it was asur. For example, let's say you have a person who cooks b'mezid on Shabbos. When a person cooks b'mezid on Shabbos, the food that he makes is forever asur for him. However, it will be mutter for other people. So, in this case, because it'll never become mutter to you, this will be a standard case. This will be a case of where davar sheyesh matirin does not apply, and therefore the Rama actually paskins this way lehalacha. Now, the ninth major exception. Oh no, I'm sorry. So no. That's it in terms of the exceptions. So just to summarize very quickly in terms of the exceptions for davar sheyesh matirin, we first discussed the case of min b'shein amino. That's an exception to davar sheyesh matirin. We just discussed very quickly why. We had the reason for the Shach, the reason of the Taz. Then we said the second major exception was where it's biyadal hatir, but you'd have to spend a lot of money in order to do that. Where it's mefazer most, we had that was from the Rashba. The third major exception was from the Mordechai, where the Mordechai quotes from the Rashba Pliza, who quotes the Rabbeinu Tam as saying that Machal HaMeskalkal is not subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. We said the Mechaber actually quotes this LaHalacha. The fourth exception was from Rav Chaim Kohn, where if you have the Issers, when you have something whose Issers is going to fall off, it is going to be Davar Sheyesh Matirin, but the Issers is ultimately going to bounce back, like Chametz BePesach, where the Chametz, even though the Issers will fall off after Pesach, but next year's Pesach, it'll kick right back on. So that's also not subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. The fifth exception was also from Rav Chaim Kohn, and that's Tam, which we said that was a major fight, if Tam is going to be subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin or not. We quoted the Merami Rudenberg's Tshuva, where the Rush expresses that if we're dealing with tam of the beer for the barley, where it's not a vidal tamah, but it's just regular tam, then it's going to be bat b'shishim. The Beis Yosef disagreed with the distinction that the Rush made, but ultimately the Ramah did paskin lahalach that tam is batal, and the Taz and Shach both raised issues with this. The Shach himself, though, quotes a whole bunch of Rishonim and Achronim, and basically paskins that tam is not going to be batal. It's definitely going to be subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. The sixth possible exception to Davar Sheyesh Matirin was what if something is not inherently aser. The example is, let's say, Basar Shalonim L'chatoch Gimel. So that would not be subject to Davar Sheyesh Matirin. That was from the Ramah. The Ramah quoted it from the Trumas Hadeshin. The Shach thought that the Ramah learned Pshat in the Trumas Hadeshin incorrectly, and therefore it shouldn't really make a difference if something is aser Machmas Asmo or not. The seventh exception was something whose iser was not nicker beforehand. The Ramah quoted that from the Isser V'Hetter Arach, and he passed in that way LaHalach. The Shach gave two examples of that, the grapes that were being crushed going into Shabbos. And then the eighth and final exception that we've discussed for exceptions for Davar Sheyesh Matirin is if the Isser doesn't become mutter eventually for the person for whom it was Asser. In other words, the person who cooks on Shabbos, the Mason. Okay, now one last point about Davar Sheyesh Matirin, and that is subjective davar sheyesh matirin. Let's say you have a person who makes a neder. He makes a neder not to drink wine. Let's say a specific bottle of wine that's sitting in his house. And then somebody takes that bottle of wine and pours a little bit into a great big barrel of wine. So now the question is he allowed to drink from the great big barrel of wine or not? So the Ramah quotes from the Rambam, the Isser V'Hetter, that they all say, well, this is a case of davar sheyesh matirin for the person who took a neder from wine, that he can very easily be shol al nidro, and because he can be shol al nidro, that's subject to davar sheyesh matirin. And there are diyukim that the shach presents from others about whether the Rama actually quotes this halacha and says very clearly that it's mutter, it's going to be considered davar sheyesh matirin lidi day. And so the question is, what are the Rama? Why? With that, it sounds like the pashtus is that the Rama, when he said that, it means that for him and him alone, there's an issue of davar sheyesh matirin, but it sounds like for everybody else, it'd be fine for them to drink that wine. Okay, so that's davar sheyesh matirin.